to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. We will continue our Bible study. I'm about settled. We do it on Sunday night. I feel like we've got a little more on Sunday night than we do maybe on Wednesday night. And so we're going to go ahead and do that. And if you remember our Bible study, you might say the main topic is for us as a church being one accord. That God's church is certainly most powerful when we're in one accord in the will of God. Now, we need to make sure that we just highlight that part. That it's in the will of God. And certainly people can come together in one accord and be in their own self-interest and will, and that would not be a good thing at all. Luke chapter 7. Let's begin reading with verse 36. We're just going to dive right on in tonight. Verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, you can just imagine what that must have been. That was a scene. And everybody was watching this scene go on, and Jesus was noticing it as well. I mean, it'd be impossible not to be paying attention to that. Somebody's kissing on your feet and washing them with their tears and drying with their hair. That is quite a scenery for us to just envision, to see what's going on here. But verse 39, now when the Pharisee which had bitten him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. So notice this Pharisee, he didn't say it out loud. He said it within himself. But Jesus heard it anyway. And that's, you know, that ought to make every one of us stop and pay attention to what we're thinking. A lot of times the thoughts that go through our mind are not thoughts that a Christian should be thinking. And Jesus knows that. He knows what's going on in our mind. So he says here, and Jesus said unto him, so I'm going to have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much. But whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Now, much is going on in this passage of Scripture, and I'm just going to point out something that I kind of hinted to just a moment ago. The religious man said one thing behind the Lord's back and another thing to his face. Behind his back, if he was a prophet, but to his face, Master, say on. And a lot of religion does that. A lot of religion that looks down their nose at other people. A lot of those that feel like that they're holy and feel like that they've accomplished a lot. And it is something that we have to pay attention to. It's pride, you know. Pride is something that we all have to deal with. And, of course, this man's religion, I believe, is founded upon pride. I know you could say other things, but he saw himself as superior to everyone else in the room, including Jesus. He invited Jesus into his home, but he didn't really treat him like anything special. He, you know, if he really thought something of him, he would have anointed his head with oil. He would have done many things, washed his feet. That was custom, especially if someone important come into your home. During that time, you were to have your servants come and wash their feet. And so he didn't think much of Jesus at all, but he wanted everybody else to kind of see him, you know, opening up this opportunity for the Lord to come into his house. So tonight we have been saved. If you're here tonight, you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're saved and made part of the family of God. And we've been given a path to follow in life, that we may offer up good works through Jesus Christ, through the name of Jesus. We pray. Even when we pray, something as open and as raw as prayer, we still pray in the name of Jesus. We pray. Because it's everything we do is through Him. Everything. Every good work that you ever offer up as a child of God, you do it through Jesus Christ, or it's really not accepted. And so, that's something for us all to stop and just take note of, that pride can become a stumbling block for all of us. Once we're saved and once the Lord begins to work with us and the Lord begins to help us clean our life up, if we don't watch out, we will start thinking, well, I'm doing everything right and everybody else is doing things wrong. They're not doing things as good as I'm doing. And boy, I tell you what, this church really needs me if I don't come. Oh, if I'm not here, then they would really suffer. The church really suffers. And so pride can swell up in our hearts. The church is most powerful when we are in one accord, settled upon the will of God. Pride certainly disrupts that. When we start getting prideful, we start getting selfish, we start looking at ourselves. And pride disrupts a church being in one accord. You know, you think about churches that have split over the years. And, you know, this side over here kind of rises up and looks at this side over here. And they're doing everything wrong. Well, no, they're doing everything wrong. And there's a pride that begins to take over. And if we're not careful, we will allow that in our lives. So don't. We don't need to do that. So, I asked the question last week, what is the advantage of being in one accord? Can we be in one accord today, and what should our united focus be? And we kind of come to the conclusion, certainly we can be in one accord as a church, and certainly our focus should be on focus. We should be on focus, and that is, what is God's will? We don't need to be in one accord, you know, in any other thing other than, what is God's will? What is God's will? If we know God's will, we can all be in one accord together if we're seeking to do the Lord's will. So, I asked us to be in prayer about that. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or speak out, but have you been praying about that? Have you been praying that God help us to have clarity? What would you have us to really focus on? We could have, certainly, we could have vision in the midst of all of life's interruptions. That's what we need, to have God's sight. God, what do you want us to see with all this stuff around us that interrupts us all the time? So tonight, I want to try to point us back to the Lord's feet. I told you that's what we were going to study tonight. We need to get back to the Lord's feet. Notice where this woman, Mary, I believe this is Mary, and we can turn and read where no doubt this was Mary. She's the one that come and anointed his feet. And she is kind of introduced to us in this passage of Scripture. And she is a sinner. And everybody knows that. And Jesus does not deny that. He said, this woman, though her sins are great, she is a sinner. It says here, no doubt, that the men could easily recognize who and what manner of woman she was. So she had a reputation. She's a bad woman by our judgments. Huh? I tell you what, when it comes to sinners, she was pretty high on the list of being a sinner. And yet, here she is at Jesus' feet. There's no pride. All her pride has left her. She may have had some when she walked in, but she swallowed it or she threw it away. And she comes to the Lord's feet and she just begins to weep and to anoint His precious feet and to kiss those feet. She's kissing on them feet. She's just broken. Just in need of mercy. And whenever you picture this, you kind of say, my goodness, that woman was a mess. I mean, come on, look at that scene. All these prestigious religious people all around, and here's the Lord Himself sitting here, and He's teaching all these people, and here's this woman. She just said it, she kind of sticks out. Certainly she sticks out. Here she is, she's kind of behind him, she's crouched down behind him, maybe he's laid out, got his feet out beside him. That's kind of customary, they'd sit around the table or sit around on the floor and they just kind of prop up on their elbow and lay their feet out beside them. And she's behind him a little bit, she's just crying over those feet. She's a mess. Just needs mercy, that's all. That's what she's there for. She's not there to impress anybody. She's not there to try to win the favor of these Pharisees. She's there for mercy. And she found mercy at Jesus' feet. She found everything she needed at Jesus' feet. And this is where she starts her Christian journey. At Jesus' feet. Now, I'm not just trying to be repetitive. I've tried to nail that down because this is where every one of us start, at Jesus' feet. This is where, if you're saved, this is where you started. I'm saved, this is where I started. Look, as just a young boy, the Lord convicted my heart. As I lay on my bed at night, just looking up at the ceiling and in the dark, the Lord began to deal with my heart. And I began to picture myself burning in hell. And the Lord, no doubt in His own way, that still small voice, let a young boy know, you are a sinner. I wasn't a sinner like this woman, though. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord opened my eyes and I saw I was a sinner, I didn't say, man, I'm a very light sinner. Right? Even though looking back on it, I was so young, I didn't have very many years to get into an awful lot. So I hadn't piled up a bunch of what we might think of as negative points, but boy, He opened my eyes and I am a sinner. I didn't think I'm a medium sinner or a heavy sinner or a light sinner. I'm a sinner. And that's all that matters because that's where every one of us starts. When the Lord opens our eyes, we're just sinners. It's totally separated from God because we're sinners. And we are in desperate need of mercy. And so, look, that's where you found yourself. A dirty, filthy, helpless sinner in need of mercy. With all our righteousness together. Let's go back to the time we were lost. And pile up all of the good deeds we were able to do in the flesh before we got saved and pile it all up. And the Bible says, all of that's like filthy rags. It's dirty. So when you hear that, if you're in your life, you hear you're just a dirty sinner. that is not a slander toward you. It's just a fact. In the sight of God, that's where we are. Dirty, filthy, helpless sinners. And so this woman, she is crying, weeping, washing his feet. She does not know what to do other than I'm here and this is the Lord and I need mercy. She's not going to get mercy from the religious folk in the room. False religion. She's not going to get mercy from all the other judgmental people that's there. But she found it with the Lord. Saved by the grace of God. And listen, here tonight, if you're saved, that's where we all started. We're all saved by the grace of God. So, we're asked, once we're saved, to serve Him. So we begin to try. Add to your faith, virtue. Okay, I've got to figure out how to start living right. So, God puts that desire in our heart. You're saved, now you need to live like you're a saved person. But, I'll be honest with you, Brother Mike, when I got saved, I didn't know how to live like a saved person. I just know what I need to do. I need to look at Paul. He's a pretty good fellow. I'll try to be like him. And we kind of do that to start with, don't we? I know some people get saved later on in life and maybe know a little bit more Scripture. And yet it's all Scripture is spiritually discerned. So we all kind of start in the same place as well. But you begin to look around and see those in the church. And God gives us good people in the church to be examples. A pastor is to be an ensample to the flock. The flock is to be able to look at that pastor and say, you know what, he should follow him. He's following Christ. If you do that, what your pastor is going to tell you is we need to make sure that it matches up with the Word of God. See how that works? So add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge. That comes next. The Word of God. So as we begin to seek to be more like the Lord and to learn more of what God would have us to be, we're now serving Him, but we're not serving Him in our own power. Sometimes we'll get that mixed up. I've got to try real hard, and I've got to, you know, turn over a new leaf. Even after you're saved, you can't do an awful lot without doing it through Christ. We sing it all the time. I mentioned about every other service. You can't even walk without Him holding your hand. When does that stop? All the way through this life, we need Him to help us do anything. So we cannot truly serve Him unless we do it in the name of Jesus and through Him. So everything we offer the Lord is through Jesus Christ. He is our strength, and all things are possible through Him. Through Him we are made more than conquerors. So being in one accord as a church depends on us working together as a body with Christ as our head. So look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. I'll start reading this and y'all all look up because you might quote it. We've read it so much this year. But the Lord has just led me back to this over and over throughout the year. So it's important. So let's pay attention to it. Verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So you have two women, sisters, and y'all know sisters are always just alike. I haven't met two yet that are just alike. If you, you can take two twins, and they most of the time are different night and day. But certainly two sisters. And so I'm sure there's a lot of differences between Mary and Martha. We don't know a lot about Martha's life, what type of woman she was. We do know that Mary, we know a little bit about her, probably more about her. But here, both of these women are disciples of the Lord. So they've both been saved. So both are good women. A lot of times I have given Martha a hard time because she's so cumbered. She's not paying attention like she should. But both of these are very, very good women. They were not on the same page. That's why I read it tonight. They are not on the same page. They are not in one accord. One's doing one thing. One's doing something else. And one is mad at the other because they're not doing the same thing. And so in Martha's mind, we should both be in the kitchen. We should both be taking care of all these responsibilities. We should both be here doing this, taking care of the kitchen. Martha is careful and she is troubled about many things. It'd be hard being one accord on that, wouldn't it? Whenever your mind's on many things, it'd be hard for everybody to have their mind on those same many things. So, she was focused on these many things and her focus was diluted. We won't be powerful. We won't have the mind of Christ. We won't have a powerful mindset. And so, think about multitasking. A lot of people pride themselves in multitasking. Sometimes it's beneficial. Sometimes multitasking can spread us too thin. You ever had a bubble bust? You know why? Because you spread your gum too thin. That's why it busts. And sometimes we'll have our bubble to bust because we should just spread too thin. The focus that Jesus was gently pointing her to, Martha. Mary has chosen that good thing, and it will not be taken from her. There's one thing, Martha, that is needful right now. And that's what she's focused on. And I believe, really, he said, and that's what you should be focused on. But you're not, because you got your mind on other things. So there's one thing that is important, and that is where our focus should be. That's where the Lord's focus is going to be. That's where Mary's focus should be. And that's where Martha's focus should be. And that's where the brother Lazarus' focus was as well. So, where's that at? It's at Jesus' feet. That's where Mary's at. She's at Jesus' feet. We all have cares that must be addressed in this world. Every one of us have cares that we have to take care of from time to time. There's times when Jesus, he sent his disciples to go prepare a table. So there's nothing wrong with preparing a table. That's what she's doing here. But she's not in one accord. She's not doing the one thing that's needful. Jesus sent them to prepare a table. So if the Lord sends you to prepare a table, that's where you need to be. But if the Lord does not send you to prepare a table, He didn't send the others. So they need to be listening. Okay, Lord, what do we do? Remember, Jesus told Peter, this is how you're going to die. Peter looks around, Lord, well, what about this man over here? Well, if I would, he just tarry, I'll come back. What's that to you? I've got something for you, and you need to listen. And I've got something for you, and you need to listen. So to be in one accord, we've got to be listening. What does the Lord want me to do? Because He's got a work for us to do. Oh, it's time whenever He sent Peter to go fishing. You know I've pointed that out because I love that that verse. He sent him, he needed to pay his taxes, so go fishing, Peter. Go catch us a fish. There's times when He called him back from fishing because he was not paying attention to what the will of God is and was. So, I'm sure that Mary and Martha, even though they're sisters, they're very, very different women. And again, I'm not sure what type of woman Martha was, but this is for sure, she was a sinner just like her sister. She needed mercy just like her sister. And once she got saved, they may have both kind of got off on their own path. And one is over here at the feet of Jesus, and the other is over here cumbered about much serving. And she needed to come back to the Lord's feet. They both found what they needed at the Lord's feet. Look at Revelation chapter 2. I know we hear all the time, we are the Laodicean church age. And I believe that with all my heart, that we are. I believe many times these things overlap and we can see some characteristics of all of these churches, sometimes in us. And so each letter is very beneficial for us all. But being the Laodicean church age, we have to understand we are blind, we are naked, we are wretched, we are poor, we are miserable. But we think we are rich. We have a deceived mindset that we have to overcome. As God's people, we have to overcome a mindset that has been deceived in this world. The devil, you know how the devil works. We all know this. The devil starts working and chipping away and chipping away. And we lose this. We give up that. We compromise here. You know that didn't start in our generation. That's been going on since the beginning of time. It's certainly been going on all of our life. And our grandparents would have told us it was going on in their life. And so we've kind of come to a place as a society to accept a lot of things that God says is wrong. And so we have to be aware of that. We are blind, but we think that we've got everything under control. We're doing everything just right. So the Laodicean church age desperately needs to repent. And boy, we need to see that as God's people, because He said if you individually will open up your heart, He said, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. There's one more at the feet of the Lord. There's one more over here that repents and comes back to the Lord, opens up their heart, and this person now has Jesus come in and sup with them, and there they are at the feet of the Lord. See how we're getting back where we need to be? So, all that being said, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, we're going to read a different church letter. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Let's stop right there just a minute. I know you know what's coming next, but let's stop and look. Up until verse 3, if there was any church letter you'd like to be a part of, receive from the Lord, this would probably be it. Because this church sounds strong. So, I mean, they are patient. They have labored for the Lord's name. They have not fainted like maybe some of the others have along the way. It sounds real good. This is where they need to be. But look, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." He goes on to tell some other things that they do that's pretty good. But he said, "You've left your first love, and if you don't get that fixed, I'm going to remove the candlestick." That's the strongest warning he gave to any church. They were in danger of no longer being a church. And why is this? Because, well, they're allowing too much going on in their church. The Corinthian church, go read what they had going on in their church. They didn't get this strong of a warning. Oh. I'm not saying God looked at it and smiled. He certainly sent them warning, and they needed to correct some things as well. But there is a danger of doing everything right and feeling like you're okay, and yet not really being close to the Savior. That's why it's important. If we're going to be in one accord, it needs to be at the Lord's feet. Because if we're in one accord at any other thing, but we are far away from the Lord, then we're not really accomplishing that much. So, to leave our first love is the most dangerous thing for a church. I will remove the candlestick. That individual church will cease to be a church. See, Mary remembered where she came from. She never forgot that, it seemed. Throughout all of our reading, we find that she's always right there. She's right there with the Lord. And even after when her brother dies, there she is, and she's waiting. And she's waiting, and when the Lord calls for her, she gets there as quick as she can get there. The Lord is calling. Time for me to go. Martha needed to be reminded. Sometimes that's what I need, Brother Mike. I need to be reminded. You can do everything that looks right and sounds right, feels right, but if we're not close to the Lord, if we're not doing it for the right reason, then we're just kind of spinning our wheels. To be in one accord, remember, you are nothing without Jesus. I want to encourage us that we, and I don't know who all this would be to, but if we're going to be in one accord, let's return to His feet. Wouldn't that be a good place to meet? We're going to all be together. Let's meet up at the Lord's feet. How are we going to get there? We're not going to see them. Get on our knees. Seek His face. That's a good meeting place for us as a church. Now, I don't know how long we're going to continue this study, but I feel burdened to continue it. So we're going to look at probably, I feel like we'll go in this direction, being steadfastly minded. We've got to be steadfastly minded, really, to be in one accord together. So, Branson, come lead us aside.